The film The Stepford Wives, there was a version in 2004 starring Nicole Kidman. And in the film, she plays the part of Joanna, who with her husband moved to the town of Stepford. And there all the women look perfect. They cook perfect dinners. Everything just looks so great. And the women do everything their husbands want. It turns out that the women are controlled by their husband. The husbands have a remote control and the women are like robots. Now, I don't want to spoil it by telling you what happens if you ever want to watch it, but as you think of it, it's a pretty horrifying scenario, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty awful for the women, but really, who'd want to live with a robot anyway? It might sound good, but it wouldn't be any sort of relationship, would it? And it might sound good to have a remote control for our children too. You know, you could just sort of say, get dressed, you know, eat your vegetables, go to bed, click, and it just happens. It would sound good, but is that what we want? It would make life easier, but we don't want robots for children, do we? We want them to develop their own identity, their own personality. We want them to grow to be responsible young people who can make wise decisions for themselves. Sometimes people, you know, you'll hear parents saying, you know, how can I control my kids? They're out of control. But it's the wrong question, isn't it? The aim is not control so much as develop character. And so in Ephesians, Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And discipline is really that whole process of training and instruction. And it must be done in a context of love. So we read from 1 John about God's love for us. God sets the example as a heavenly father in the way in which he loves us as his children. It says there, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. So God provides for us, he hears us, he guides us, he protects us. He may discipline us at times, but he's very patient and very forgiving. And so he's a model of love for our children in many ways. Now, Ross Campbell has written a book called How to Really Love Your Children. And you might think, but, you know, I do love them. You know, I do love my child or my children. But he points out in that book that parents invariably almost do love their children. There may be some exceptions, but most parents feel a great love for their children. But sometimes children don't feel loved. And so Campbell gives three ways to communicate our love to our children in a way that they can feel it emotionally. The first one is eye contact, looking directly into the eyes of our child. We know the power of it when we're trying to discipline them, don't we? We say, look at me, and we want to make them to make eye contact with us because we want to get a message across to them. But we need to make eye contact so that they can communicate and really see our love for them. Steve Bidoff, in a book called Raising Boys, says, a baby seeks out your attention with a gurgle or cry. You look towards him and see that he's looking at you. He's thrilled to make eye contact and wriggles with delight. So that's with a small baby. But all children respond to that eye contact. So it's not just for babies, it's all our ages that need that expression of our love in the way in which we make eye contact, not just sort of talking over our shoulder as we're doing something else. I mean, that'll happen to happen at times, but we need to make eye contact with them regularly. The next thing he says is physical contact. And so he says when our children are babies, we're constantly touching them, aren't we? We've got to carry them from here to there. We've got to dress them. We've got to feed them. We've got to bath them. You know, we're constantly in physical contact with them. But as they get older, You don't have to touch them all the time like that. You don't have to do these things, but they still need physical contact to express our love emotionally. That sort of physical contact may change as they get older, but they still need it for us to communicate our love. So, and it's not just hugs and kisses, it can be just a touch, can be wrestling together and various things. And so again, Steve Vidal says, for both sons and daughters, a dad's affection is vital. A child can't understand that you work long hours and worry over tax forms and all that sort of stuff, because that's not something he can see or touch. Kids know that they're loved through touch and eye contact and laughter and fun. Affection is reassuring. It conveys love in a way that words cannot. It conveys that message of love. And then Campbell mentions a third way, and that is focused attention, he calls it. Now, you might have several kids, you might do things together as a family, go on picnics and various things, but he's talking about focused attention when you give time one-on-one to a child, a way that makes them feel that they are completely loved. So it isn't something he says. He's pretty stern on it. He says that it's not something to do if time permits. It's a critical need each child has. It will take time, and sometimes a lot of time. In a Pearly Gates comic some time ago, one child says to the other, "My dad is rich and he travels a lot, but he gives me heaps of presents." "Wow," says the other one. "He sends the best toys that money can buy." "Wow." And then he says, "Does your dad give you anything?" "Yeah," says the other one. "Time." "Wow." Oops, sorry. Better give you the other comic. There it is. So, time. What he says is that children need to have, it's like their emotional batteries need to be charged. If you think of a mobile phone, you've got to plug it in and charge it every day or two. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And he says children have an emotional battery that keeps on running down. You need to charge it up by reassuring them of your love with eye contact, physical contact, and focused attention. They communicate your love in a way that the child can actually feel. So, if we can try and remember those three things. Now, obviously, those things aren't spelled out in the Bible, but I think they're ways of expressing the love that the Bible calls for as we seek to love our children. The next thing is encouragement. Now, the New Testament talks a lot about encouragement, speaks about it about 39 times. So just to pick one, in 1 Thessalonians it says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Build each other up. That's something we're called to do within the congregation, to encourage each other in our walk with Jesus and in our lives. But we should encourage our children. We need to think of how to do that. It's easy to focus on the negative things, isn't it? To pick things that they're doing wrong and to have a go at them for those, to think of negative things. But how often do we affirm them? How often do we compliment them on something that they're doing well? How often do we say, "You're really good at doing that," and encourage them? So we need to look for opportunities to be encouraging, to be positive in that way, and to build them up. And then we come to discipline. And firstly, as we think of discipline, we need to see that parents have a God-given authority over their children. So in Ephesians it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother," which is the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments, that is, "with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." So children are told to obey their parents. It's part of the obeying the fifth commandment that God gave. Parents are to be honoured because they've been given this responsibility to bring their children up to trust and obey God. And so they have that authority. Now, it's got to be a loving authority, just like God's authority over us is expressed in love. It mustn't be expressed in a harsh way or out of self-interest just to make life easier for ourselves. So it must be directed to developing the child's well-being. But it is an authority, though. It's the parent's responsibility to set boundaries and to lay down the rules. Everything doesn't have to be negotiated. Now, certainly we've got to listen to our children and to listen to what upsets them and concerns them. But in the end, the parents need to say what's required and to require their obedience. And, of course, you can use rewards to encourage them to do those things as well as other things. But that does bring us to other things. I wonder if you find yourself yelling at kids, trying to get them to do what you want by shouting too often. Think of this. You're driving along in your car, going a little bit too fast, and soon there's a blue flashing light behind you, and you pull over, and the policeman walks very slowly up to your car and says, "Show me your license, please, driver." And you are shaking like a jelly, aren't you? Why is that? He's not shouting, he's not yelling at you, he's not doing anything like that. But you know that there are consequences. He's got something he can do. He can get out his little book and write you a ticket. God has consequences for disobedience, as we read in the first of our readings, where it said, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." So it spells out the fact that there are consequences for disobeying God when we don't do what he wants. And we read in Hebrews, and Hebrews is quoting Proverbs, where it says, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises everyone he accepts as a son." So he's talking about consequences. Now, it goes on to describe them in Hebrews. It says, "No discipline is pleasant at the time, but painful. Later, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." There is a need for consequences, and particularly for defying the parent's authority in a very overt sort of way. Now, recognise, of course, that children will test the boundaries that you set. It's actually a healthy part of them developing their own identity. They do need to test those things, and we've got to be careful not to crush their spirits, but we do need to apply discipline. And children need to learn that there are consequences in life. I mean, if they don't learn their consequences, there'll be problems later. If they don't learn that if they don't study hard, they'll fail exams. If they don't work hard, they can be out of a job. If they break the laws of the country, they can end up with serious consequences. And they need to learn those things in the loving atmosphere of the home. If they don't learn those things, you're setting them up for big problems later. There are some other passages which talk about consequences in Proverbs. There it says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away." And then it goes on in chapter 13, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." Now, some people argue there that the rod necessarily means physical punishment, but whether or not it means physical punishment, it obviously means some sort of consequence for disobedience. Now, I've copied out an article from a book called God, Marriage and Family, which talks about, well, it talks about the rod, but it talks about a number of things to do with discipline and some good words of advice there. it looks at the Bible in many passages and see what the Bible has to say. So I've copied that out, and it's on the parenting table out there if you want to pick up a copy. So I do encourage you to look at that, read it. If you want to talk about it later, we can talk about it. And read other books too. One method of discipline that some people use is to count to three when they're asking the child to do something, and then there's a time out. It doesn't have to be harsh, but it is a consequence. It's something that will happen, something that has been defined, and something that has been planned out beforehand. And parents need to be on the same page over what they're going to do. So just to think in terms of discipline, the authority of parents have, and the need for some consequence. In Ephesians it goes on, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." We mustn't exasperate our children. Our training and our discipline must be fair, it must be consistent, and above all, it must be done in that context of love. The rules and the consequences have to be clear, they have to be spelled out. And so there does need to be discipline. So in the series, we looked at a number of things, just to go back over the last few weeks. We looked at the fact that we live in a godless world, and we've seen the results of the census that, in fact, less people are turning up in church and believing in God. We're preparing our children to live in a world which doesn't share Christian values. We need to think of that. And then parents have a role in teaching and training their children, setting a godly example for them. We can't just say, oh, well, we'll send them off to SRE in school or to C4K. We see that we need to introduce them to the Bible reading and prayer. And if you didn't get one a couple of weeks ago, I handed out this sheet, a little sheet like that, which looks at the different stages a child goes through and the appropriate Bible materials for each stage. So pick one of them up from the table if you would like to do that or have a look at it. And then finally, the need to discipline in love. So there's the table out there you can have a look at as you think of what the next step is. What are you going to do? You're going to get a book of Bible stories, order one. You can order them on the bookstore there. Are you going to do the course? So there are some of the books. Do the parenting course. I've copied there a list of the topics that are covered in the parenting course. That's out on the table. And on the Facebook, I understand, I haven't looked at it, but on the Facebook, I understand there's a video clip that you can look at that just shows you what's going to happen at that course. So look at the church's Facebook. Okay, so a whole lot of things that you can do. Think of what you are going to do as you seek to fulfill God's role as a parent. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for our children. We thank you for drawing us together in families. We thank you for the fun and all that families mean. And thank you for your love for us as a heavenly Father. But Father, we pray that in this area of life that we might seek to live in a way which pleases you, in a way which fulfills your purpose for us as parents, as grandparents, or as we encourage others who are parents and grandparents. Lord, help us to do that, and so to bring up the next generation to know and to follow Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.